This week, there was a political rebellion. It started on Monday, when seven Labour MPs resigned.
This has been a very difficult, painful, but necessary decision.
That's Luciana Berger speaking. She's been the MP for Liverpool Wavertree since 2010. Alongside her was
Anne Coffey, the Member of Parliament for Stockport.
Chris Leslie, the Member of Parliament for Nottingham East.
Mike Gapes, the Member of Parliament for Ilford South.
Angela Smith, the MP for Penistone and Stocksbridge in South Yorkshire.
Chukwuma Mina, the Member of Parliament for Streatham.
Gavin Shukarime, since 2010, been the Member of Parliament for Luton South.
On Wednesday, the independent group gained three new members from the Conservative Party.
Once there were seven, and now there are 11. And at the last count, about 115,000 Twitter followers.
That's Heidi Allen, who resigned with Anna Soubry and Sarah Wollaston.
And it is with a heavy heart that I have today resigned my membership of the Conservative Party.
A further Labour MP, Joan Ryan, also joined the group, and on Friday, Ian Austin also resigned from the Labour Party.
And I think Jeremy Corbyn and the people around him have turned what was a mainstream political party into something really very different. I think they've created a culture of, you know, extremism and intolerance and bullying.
But Ian has said he has no plans to join the independent group. I'm Natasha Livingston, the podcast's editor, and to try and make sense of all of this, I chatted to backbench editors Abby King and Callum Henderson.
Here now with more news, debate and opinion.
On Monday, seven Labour MPs resigned and declared that they would sit as a new group of independents. By Wednesday, the rebels became 11 as three Conservatives and another Labour MP joined the so-called independent group. Why is this happening now?
Well, I think it's been a long time coming. You don't leave your party that you've been a member of and that you've worked for decades because of a small issue, and certainly not for careerism, as some people have been saying. I do, however, think that Mina and his colleagues have timed the decision in an attempt to exert maximum pressure on Corbyn to waken up about Brexit. I mean, they are politicians, after all. They do understand timing. I think the Conservatives, like Soubry, are thinking that they just might not get their party back, while people like Berger have simply been made to feel like they're not welcome.
Yeah, I think there are different reasons for each of them. So I think, timing-wise, I'm not entirely sure why they've picked now. I think like everything with Brexit has just escalated things.
And Abby, you currently work for the Labour MP Matt Rodder. What was the atmosphere in the office when the seven Labour MPs resigned?
It was a tense day in the office, so I'm not going to lie about that. But I mean, a lot of us knew that something could happen. We've been hearing from political commentators, from people within the party, that something might happen. So we were kind of expecting it, but no, it wasn't pleasant, and we were all gutted, to put it bluntly. But it's hard when people leave the party that you work hard for, and I think here it's really important to talk about how, you know, people within the Labour Party, we're not all, we put a lot into the party, and we work really hard for it, and people who work for MPs, I've only been here a month, but I've seen how hard the people work. And to have things like this happen, it kind of feels like a little bit of a slap in the face to everything that you've put such hard work into. So it was a difficult day in the office, and it hasn't been easy this week. But with Brexit, nothing has been easy for the last couple of years.
Callum, on Monday, you wrote an article in response to the news commenting, "All who care about a decent and liberal country should support the independent group." Do you still feel this way?
Is that Abby laughing there? yes, I do still feel that way. I mean, the article's gone completely out of date in every other sense, but I still think that that very nice last line of mine is still relevant.
It's a good line.
It's a good line, yeah. I think with the Conservatives, it's fairly self-evident why they're not exactly liberal bastions. But I do also think it's true of Labour, or at least the Labour leadership, which matters. They've been extremely dishonest about the consequences of Brexit for the most vulnerable people in society that they affect to care about. I mean, it just sort of negates all these platitudes about the NHS and the welfare state that they care.
I mean, I think that's unfair.
Well, I mean, there's a party that's been overwhelmed by conspiracy theory that's been shared by National Socialists and Russian Tsars. You cannot describe that as liberal.
But we're not a liberal party. We're Labour.
Very nice try. Can I also just say that I was amazed how much Labour looked like a very, I would say, monolithic establishment party this week. It just seemed extremely uncomfortable with what was happening, and it didn't even know how to react.
Why would they be comfortable with it?
Well, I mean, you would expect that a party that came to, a leadership that came to power a couple of years ago was all about this changing politics and shaking up politics. But now it's very much settled into this bunker attitude of they can't leave, they're defectors, they're just betraying the country to the Tories. The leadership was either dismissing them, and then, you know, we got this tide of abuse online. They seemed very, very unhappy and uncomfortable.
Why would you be happy about it? We've just lost some MPs. And I think the thing is that these MPs that have left us are not, it's not like they've suddenly formed a new party that's going to be contesting by-elections. I don't fully understand their aim. I don't understand how they are any less of the establishment than the Labour Party, or indeed the Conservative Party is. They're funded by some, I don't know, potentially dodgy sources, whatever. But they are as much of the establishment as we are, and it's unfair to say that they're not.
We can agree to disagree.
So, Abby, it's clear from your view that you think this movement is clearly, you know, a loss for Labour. But who do you think this movement will hurt more, the Tories or the Labour Party?
Yeah, I think that is a really interesting and a valid question to ask. Well, obviously, numerically at the moment, we've lost more than the Conservative Party, but there are talks of up to 20 more Conservative ministers, MPs leaving the party. Again, I would go back to the reasons why they're leaving and the damage those reasons can do for each party. With the Conservatives, arguably, it is very much centred around Brexit, around Anna Soubry talking about the ERG having control of the party. So I think in that sense, that is slightly less damaging for the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party is the party of government, is the party of negotiating Brexit, is the party of Brexit, essentially. So that's less, it's more to be expected. Whereas Labour, there are different reasons. And we do need to have a wake-up call in the Labour Party. I absolutely, fundamentally agree with that. So I think at the moment, it's hurting us more, but time will tell.
On that question, there's probably a good chance that we're going to get a new Tory leader sometime this year, possibly. Providing it's not someone like Mogg or Johnson, we could end up with a Tory leader who's prepared to bring their party back together and prevent more defections, if anything, by just coming up with a bit more policy aside from Brexit. I think that would help enormously. As for Labour, I mean, I think it's very unlikely Corbyn is going to be budging anytime soon. And I genuinely don't think he and the people around him are really capable of understanding why people within the party are doubting his abilities and his credentials as Prime Minister. They seem to see them only as traitors. And I think if this current trend continues, Labour may change from being a fairly broad church into a very narrow one.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Corbyn, the leadership of the Labour Party wants to be in government. That's the aim of any political party. So to say that he welcomes the slimming down of the party is kind of fundamentally not his agenda.
It's clear that the 11 MPs who have gone want some kind of centrist perspective. But if this is what they wanted, why didn't they just join the Liberal Democrats?
Well, exactly.
they're the Lib Dems, aren't they? I mean, I think the Liberal Democrats are too tainted still by the coalition years. Also, I think the image of you leaving your party and going straight into another fairly well-established party isn't nearly as bold as saying we're leaving and we're starting afresh. Mm. I think the independent group wanted the sort of cleansing feeling that comes with beginning anew.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, the people in the independent group are coming from different political backgrounds, with different ideologies. I would still argue that Anna Soubry is vastly different from people like Luciana Berger, who wouldn't all necessarily agree with the the ideologies of the Liberal Democrats. So I think to put yourself into something that's already been formed is more difficult than to start something from scratch.
Mm. Well, my next question feeds very much into that, in that the mix of Tory and Labour MPs in the movement is particularly interesting. And as you say, for instance, Anna Soubry is very different to some of the Labour MPs who are in the movement. For instance, the other day she defended George Osborne's austerity politics, which, you know, is something Labour MPs tend to dislike. So do you think there's more that divides the group than unites them?
Yeah, I mean, this is my issue with the independent group, is that it seems that the only uniting factor at the moment is their want of a people's vote, second referendum, whatever you want to call it. Some of the sort of more veteran MPs like Mike Gapes have been in the Labour Party for so many years. So to suddenly switch and ideologically line up with people like Soubry, who are defenders of austerity, doesn't make sense to me. That's probably my main criticism of what's going on, is that it seems there is much more that divides them that unites them, and when you're starting up a fledgling party, that is not a great start.
No, I agree. I mean, I think even the Tory defectors disagree with each other. Soubry has defended Osborne's policies, where I think at the same press conference, Heidi Allen stood up and condemned her former party for immiserating the lives of many people. So it's definitely a movement that's it's barely got any policy together yet. It has a sort of 2-page PDF document outlining a load of very basic principles. And I think they will disagree on a huge number of issues, but I think they're sensible enough folk. And I think they've been driven to a certain point where they are united by just a disgust at the sort of terrible decline in the state of their own parties, that they will try and keep their project together.
I'll believe it when I see it.
It's not just charges of disunity that have been directed at the rebels. It's just hours after the Gang of Seven held their press conference on Monday, Angela Smith said this on BBC Politics Live.
It's not just about being black or a funny, you know, different from the BME community, but the Jewish community.
Does the racism scandal make the group's promise of new politics completely empty?
Well, it doesn't look great, does it? When you start in a new fledgling party, fledgling group, whatever you want to call it, you want to start with some good sound bites, and that wasn't exactly helpful to their cause, I'll say that.
I saw that whole incident. It's total nonsense. Smith, if you look back at it, Smith's actually replying to a not very good joke that another guest called Ash Sakar made about her gammon white relatives. And Sakar has since written about saying that this apparently discredits the whole movement, which is nonsense. You need to look at the context of the whole clip to understand it. I also find it incredibly depressing that you've got this culture where you make some sort of tactless remark while you're on air, which must be pretty stressful anyway, and then you're immediately denounced as some sort of screaming racist. It's ridiculous. It was a total non-story.
I think it is unfair, but I think it does reveal the discomfort that politicians often have talking about race, even if it was in context. So onto a more lighthearted way of looking at the group. If they were to become an official party, what do you think their name should be? To give you some inspiration, suggestions on Twitter have ranged from None Direction, The In-Betweeners, or my personal favourite, The Rebel Alliance.
Something with democratic in it, I'm sure it's going to come up.
Not bad choices there. I do find the whole independent group thing a bit strange. I mean, it can't totally be independent forever. I mean, Tiggers is people have said that already. I think that's starting to catch on a little bit. That would be good enough.
Where does that come from, Tiggers?
Oh, it's the independent group, and then it's the TIG, and then. Am I the only one who sees that? I don't know.
I just thought of Winnie the Pooh. So.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're always hopping up and down with the new ideas.
Their logo they had when they were at that conference is literally the most plain image they could have even come up with. But I suppose if they're not really sure what they represent, then going for a minimalist look is probably a good thing. And Abby, I think I know how you're going to respond to this question. If the independent group formed an official party, would you vote for them at the next election?
Definitely not.
Why?
I think I'd lose my job.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, my ideology is with the Labour Party, and it'll always be with the Labour Party.
For me, they don't have any Scottish MPs yet, which I think is just a disgrace. I mean, I do have a dilemma, and my local MP is Jo Swinson, and she's one of the best in the country. But yeah, I'd certainly consider voting for them. I might even go down and campaign for Luciana Berger, if it's all right with Abby, that is.
Good luck with that. In Liverpool. Here now with more news, debate and opinion.